We had an awesome day yesterday during cleansing stream. If you're at cleansing stream, why don't you raise your hand? If you're a participant, if you were a leader, we have Pastor Marianne and Stuart here with their team, and all the intercessors and anointers. It was a powerful time, and God did great things. I'm going to share this morning on how to keep the freedom that God started in our lives. For all of us, it's a work. We're all a work in progress. Turn to the person next to you and tell the person next to you, you're a work in progress, and so am I. I've gone to 14 of these cleansing streams, and my wife will be the first to tell you that I am a work in progress. And because I'm a work in progress, I work in her, the patience of God. The process of perfection, I'm just going to give a couple of tips from the Word on how we grow in grace to become more and more like Christ. It was amazing. Well, first of all, yesterday I was supposed, how many of you are grateful that God just does whatever he wants with your life if you give him permission? Last week I gave the example of how I was feeling overwhelmed, and then asked for the intercessors to pray for me, and I went into the office and looked on top of my desk, and there was a speaker that said, just show up. And I took that as a word from the Lord, just show up, and he'll do the rest. And then I looked on my phone, and the first thing that came up on my phone was this reel that Justin, one of the worship leaders here, was putting up on Instagram. And the whole thing was, I don't know what you're going through today, but I have a word for you. Just show up. And I was like, wow, God, you're just speaking to me. So I had this struggle because I wanted to watch my daughter run the state tournament, but we had cleansing training this weekend. So I asked our church staff, what should I do? Should I go watch my daughter run in the state meet, or should I come to cleansing stream? And they said, you know, John, you can go to watch your daughter. And I'm like, yes, I'm gonna go watch my daughter. Little did I know that Pastor Lance was praying that my daughter wouldn't make the state meet. And so MIL Champs comes around, and my daughter, there's only 24 people in the state that they're going to take into the state tournament for the 800. And guess what my daughter in the whole state placed? 25th. Isn't that crazy? I was so bitter at Pastor Lance. And so she placed 25th. She was first alternate. And she said, Dad, I think God wants you to go to cleansing stream. So I was like, okay. And she said, and I'm going to go to Oahu anyway because I'm first alternate. So she went to Oahu while I was here doing cleansing stream. And then guess how many people dropped out? One. So she got to run in the state meet. And then she came in 16th, I think, 16th instead of 24. So she did really well. And God just does what he wants to do with our lives, right? We say, God, direct me, whatever you want, and he directs our path, and God is a good God. Yesterday, there's so many things that God did in the lives of people, and the enemy is someone who steals, kills, and destroys. That's what he does. And so I want to talk about three things today that can help you keep your freedom. Number one, have faith in Jesus' love for you. Everyone say that. Have faith in Jesus' love for you. Let's read this scripture at the count of three. One, two, three. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can we pray? God, we just thank you so much for your word this morning. Thank you for the work that you did in so many people's hearts yesterday. God, we pray that you would solidify that work. God, that you would continue to help each ear hear what your Spirit is saying to their hearts. God, we pray for a sensitivity of your Spirit and to be able to hear what your Spirit is saying. Speak to us through your word. We ask this in Jesus' wonderful name. And everyone said, amen. Even though I grew up in a Christian house, I didn't hear God's voice specific to me till I was in high school. And the first thing that God told me was that he loved me. I remember going to a church camp and the camp speaker said, how many of you have not heard the voice of God? And I was a little bit ashamed because I grew up in a Christian house. My dad was a pastor, but I was like, I never heard God's voice. I heard my dad's voice a lot. I heard my mom's voice a lot. Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I heard my mother's voice say, I brought you into this world. I can take you out. But I never heard God's voice. And so he said, if you haven't heard God's voice, come up to the front and I want to pray for you. So I came to the front with some other people and they prayed for me. And the first thing I heard was that it was a voice that said, I love you. And he said, what are you hearing? What is God telling you? And I said, God's telling me that he loves me. And he said, you're hearing God. And I thought, that's so simple. But the crazy thing was, even though I heard that all my life, until God spoke to that to me and I heard it from him, it really didn't impact my life a whole lot. I knew it in my head, but I didn't know it in my heart. And what we saw yesterday on the line was people hearing for themselves the voice of God. And it was such a powerful thing. And when we go through hard times, when we go through struggle, when we go through pain, the thing that will pull us through and the thing that will heal us is a knowing in our spirit that God loves us. No matter what happens in our lives, if you know that you're going through this pain with God on your side and God being for you, you can walk through anything. There was one person on the line, and I just want to still everyone's heart. I'm not going to talk about anybody that I prayed for yesterday. I was on the line, and I could tell everybody nobody wanted to come to me because they're like, I'm going to end up in one of Pastor John's sermons. And so nobody, but I'm not going to say, but I will say this, that there was one person that was here, and she was talking about some things that she had gone through and just pain and suffering in her life. And I said, close your eyes, just be still. And then I prayed. I said, God, you speak to her. And I asked her, where was God during your time of suffering? And I said, God, please speak to her. Show her where you were. And inside my heart, I was like, yeah, God, where were you? And I prayed that prayer, and then I said, do you see anything? And she started crying, and she's like, yes, I see him. I said, what is God doing? Where is he? And she said, he's on his knees, and he's praying for me. And there's a scripture that says that Jesus is our intercessor, and he stands at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. And she had a revelation during that time that God wasn't mad at her, that God wasn't punishing her, that God was actually on his knees, Jesus was on his knees interceding for her while she was in that suffering. And if you know that God loves you, if you know that he's for you and not against you, you can go through anything. We are more than conquerors. Everyone say, more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. Amen? The second thing, and this might not be common knowledge, this might not be something that you are familiar with, but not only do you have to have faith that God loves you, but you have to have a confidence that you love God. Do you know that? And who makes that known to you? You might think, well, if I love God, I should know that. Not really. The Spirit is the one that makes that known to us. If Satan can convince you that you don't love Jesus because of your failure, he can keep you from following Christ. I'll say that again. If Satan can convince you that you don't love Jesus because of your failure, he can keep you from following Christ. When you fail, listen to the voice of the Spirit affirming your love for Christ. Your conviction in your love for Christ will enable you to follow him. This is really important. Like, let me give you an example that will kind of help you understand this. And I've kind of shared this before, but my parents, when I grew up, they always told me this saying. They said, Love is dumb. Love is blind. And if you act according to your emotions, you're going to make mistakes. And so how many of you would agree with that? Anyone? 10 of us? 5 of us? How many can like speak from experience? So what I used to do is whenever I would get attracted to someone, I would go to my notebook and I would write down everything wrong with them, every fault that I could find to keep myself from falling in love so that I wouldn't make a stupid mistake. So in college, when I started dating Joss, I wrote down everything that I didn't like about her. And I remember we had been going out for about a year, and then my pastor told me, John, are you a Christian? I'm like, yes. And he said, can you hear from the Lord? I'm like, yes. And he said, what is God telling you about this girl? Are you supposed to marry her? And I said, I don't know. He said, it's been a year. I'm going to give you a week and give me an answer next week. I'm like, what? A week? And so I started praying, and I was driving one day, and I'm like, God, is she the one? Is she the one that I'm supposed to marry? Is it someone else? And I heard God speak, and he's like, why would you not marry her? Like, what's the thing that's keeping you from marrying her? And then I gave him my list, because I had the list. Gave him my list. These are things that are wrong. It wasn't a big list, but, you know, these are things that are wrong. And she's not here. She's with her mother on Oahu, so I can say whatever I want. I have way more wrong with me than she does. I married up. But so I gave God the list, and then God asked me this question. He said, then why are you still with her? I thought about it, and then I said, because I love her. And that's the first time I realized that I loved her. The Holy Spirit revealed to me that I loved Joss. And I said, I'm with her because I love her. And then I realized love isn't being with somebody because of all the things that they do right. Love is being with someone because of, in spite of the things that they do wrong. God loved us in spite of everything wrong with us, right? And I realized that I loved her. And then it caused me to pursue her and ask her to marry me. In the same way, God, a lot of times we don't pursue God because we don't know, we don't have the confidence that we love him. But the Spirit is the one who reveals to us that we love him. There's a scripture that backs this up, not just my experience. Peter made a mistake. Peter told Jesus, everybody can forsake you, but I will not forsake you. Everybody will run away, but I am willing to die for my faith. And Peter, Jesus looked at him and said, by the time the rooster crows 3 times, you're going to deny me. And Peter denied Jesus 3 times and then heard the rooster crow. Jesus knew that Peter wasn't going to be able to live up to his own commitment. And after he rose from the dead, who was the first disciple that Jesus pursued? It was Peter. Jesus pursued Peter after he made a mistake, after he denied Christ. In Christ's greatest time of need, instead of being with him and supporting him, he betrayed him. And when Jesus came to Peter, he wanted to restore the relationship that he had with Peter. And the way he restored it wasn't, do you know what you did wrong? Do you know why you weren't able to carry through with your commitment? Let me give you 10 points of what you can do better. Maybe you needed to spend more time in the Word. Maybe you needed to go to church a little bit more. Maybe you just needed to have a little bit more willpower. Jesus didn't say any of those things to Peter. Let's read what Jesus said. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, the first thing that Jesus did was he hung out. He's like, hey, Peter, let's go grab coffee. Let's go to Calais, get a loco moco. Let's talk. Simon, son of Jonah, and he asks him this question. He says, do you love me more than these? He asked Peter, do you love me? And Peter said, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And he said to him, tend to my sheep. Then he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. When Jesus was asking Peter those three times, do you love me? Do you think that he was asking Peter, do you love me because he wasn't convinced or because Peter wasn't convinced? It was because Peter had just failed Christ and he was asking him the question because he wanted Peter to know that he did indeed love him in spite of his failure. And when you fail, because we're all human, I've gone through 14 of these cleansing streams, and I leave feeling victorious. And every single time I'm getting closer, we're all getting closer and closer to the image of Christ, right? From glory to glory to glory until we see him as he is and we will be like him. But we are human and we will fail. And when we do fail, the enemy will be in your ear saying, you don't love God. And it's in that moment that you have to still your heart and listen to the voice of the Spirit saying, do you love me? And in that, rest long enough to allow this, to allow the truth to surface that you do. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? Most assuredly, I say unto you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. God, in our process of perfection and becoming more and more like Christ, not only do we need to know that God loves us, we need to hear by the Spirit of God that we do love him, because that will take us through the suffering that we're going to go through. And every single one of us will go through suffering. The last thing, have faith to follow through the suffering. Let's read this scripture together. 1, 2, 3. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Christ. Faithful is he who called you and also will do it. The pressure is off of you. Just show up. Just show up. And he is faithful. He who started it will be faithful to complete it to the day of Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before I call Pastor Mary Ann up, I didn't have time for first service, but we don't have any cars that need to come into the parking lot for a second. So I want to hear some testimonies from yesterday. If there's anybody that wants to share what God did in their life yesterday, you can come up. Awesome. Can you guys give a hand for Zach? Awesome.
All right, so I don't like talking in front of crowds, so I'll make this quick. I came in kind of hesitant yesterday, and I actually got to get prayer with Pastor John. And I had a lot of self-hatred, a lot of rejection. And he asked me, he goes, do you hear God's voice? Do you hear him talking to you? And it took a minute, but I heard the same thing that he heard, and he goes, I love you. And he goes, how perfect are you that I made you? And that resonated with me and actually broke, years of turmoil and just hatred that I had for myself, and just released those chains. And I spent the rest of the day crying and laughing and singing and dancing, which I have not done in quite a while.
That's awesome, awesome. Thank you, Zach. Anyone else? A couple more. All right, Rhonda.
I'll try and keep it simple. I went way back to childhood, sexually abused for many years, which laid a foundation of mistrust, self-hatred, not enough. How could I be enough to anyone? But what came through was that God was with me the whole time, and that what I thought my purpose was when I was young, and my family didn't support me in it, Satan took me another way. It was because he saved me for now, to do the work now, to help children now, like myself, that were so harmed and traumatized. So I thank you, God. Yesterday was phenomenal. If you didn't get to go, you got to go next time. There's nothing like it. And I danced and sang, too. All right.
Last one. I'm going to just call you out, Aaron. And then worship team, you can come up.
Thank you. I was ready to share this in first service, and then I was getting the second, like, regrets, like, oh, should I share? But God's been working a lot in my life, and my wife's life, and what I wanted to share this morning is, like Zach shared, I had a lot of self-rejection to myself because of what I've done and to hurt my wife and to hurt our marriage, and I didn't feel worthy to be called. I've been told that God has a plan and purpose for my life. I've been through Bible college. I've been a youth pastor. I've done a lot of ministry. And I just felt like at this point in my life that I was done. I didn't know what else my life had for me. But yesterday, I was told that God wants me out of that penalty box. And back on the ice, you know, like, you don't go back to 20 steps or whatever. Like, God's like, I want you back in the game, and I want you doing what you're doing. And I just felt so unworthy. There's a lot of lies that I told myself. There's a lot of things I hated about myself. But like Pastor John shared this morning too, that through all that suffering that my wife and I went through, that Jesus was there praying for me, and he's never left, he's never abandoned me, and he loves me, and he still had a plan and purpose for my life. So
awesome, awesome. How many of you were blessed by Pastor Marianne Stewart and the team from the mainland? And I'm going to ask Pastor Marianne if you'd come up and share last words before.
Thank you. What an honor. Thank you so much, Grace Bible Church, for hosting Cleansing Stream. And thank you for your hospitality and feeling so loved. And I was asking the Lord, what is it that he had for you at this time, Grace Bible? And actually, during a prayer meeting, it had dawned on me that the first time we were here, God had given that word of expand and extend your tent pegs, and look what the Lord has done with two services. Amen. And then the other thing that God was just bringing to mind was this: do you really believe that the God who can turn graves into gardens and bones into armies, that he's the only one who can? Do you really believe that? Why am I bringing that up? Because what the Lord was laying on my heart was this: Grace Bible Church, Maui, you experience trauma because of the fire. It's time to put away the things that are not of God and get your focus on him who is for you and not against you, and who will give you what you need to rebuild. It's time to come out of that place of trauma. And what scripture the Lord gave me was Isaiah 61. And can I just say, you carry, Grace Bible Church, you carry Isaiah 61. But what he wanted me to focus on today was, and they shall rebuild the old ruins, they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. The Message Bible reads like this: they'll rebuild the old ruins, raise a new city out of the wreckage. They'll start over on the ruined cities, take the rubble left behind, and make it new. Maui, can I tell you? The whole world was watching you last year. Show them who you are. Show them that you can rebuild. Show them that God is with you and for you, and will rebuild strong once again. And would you please stand to your feet as we deal with this corporate spirit of trauma? Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just thank you for how you've called us out of those graves, and now you want to rebuild the gardens. The garden in us and the garden in Hawaii, specifically Lahaina. Father, we thank you for the anointing of Isaiah 61, but specifically on Grace Bible Church. And so in the name of Jesus, we rebuke all trauma, for it says that by his stripes we are healed, and he was wounded for our transgressions. And God, you heal the brokenhearted. So Father, we speak, be made whole in the name of Jesus. And Father, that we would give you all the glory as you help us rebuild the old places. In Jesus' name, amen.
God, we receive that word. We receive that word that God has called us to rebuild, not just the physical, but more importantly, the spiritual, the hope in the lives of people. How many of you believe that God directs your steps? How many of you believe that you are the body of Christ? Jesus is in heaven. He makes himself known through you. Turn to the person next to you and say, you are the body of Christ. This past couple weeks, I'm in this class for my heart. I had a stent put in my heart in 2020-something. And so I'm going through these classes of like how to eat food that tastes like cardboard and enjoy it. That's pretty much what it is. But there's a guy that was in the class, and two guys that are in the class. It's just me and two other guys. And we've been in this class for about 5 weeks, 6 weeks so far. And he came up to me this past week, and he brought his phone to me, and he said, is this your signature? And it was a picture on his phone. And I looked at it, and I was like, that's my signature. How the heck did you get it? And he said, who's David? And I said, that's my brother. And he said, when the fires happened, your church gave me $500. And this is your signature. And he started crying. And he said, thank you guys for blessing us. And he's not a Christian, but he said, I want to take you golfing. I don't golf. But tomorrow I'm going to be on the course with him. And God directs our steps. He puts us in the path of people who need hope, who need him. What are the chances that out of all the people on Maui, one of the guys in my class of three has my signature of a check that we gave to people in Lahaina? And God is going to put you in the path of people that need hope, that need to be rebuilt. It wasn't just the city that was destroyed. It was the hope. And there are people that are at the verge of committing suicide and that are hopeless and that their lives have been shattered. And he's put you in their lives to rebuild the ruins. And that city was built by people. The people didn't build this. The city didn't build the people. The people built the city. And when people have hope, God will do amazing things through a community that has hope. And God's placed you in this community to do that. Amen? God, we just thank you, Lord, for your promises of your word. We thank you for what you did in our hearts, that you built hope in our hearts, that you healed the things that needed to be healed. And thank you, God, that you not only heal us, but you bless us so that we can be a blessing. God, we thank you for everything that you have been to us. And I'm going to send you off with a benediction. You can raise your hands to receive if you want. And the very God of peace, may he sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calleth you and also will do it. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.